Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 94 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined with Leonard. How are you doing today, Leonard?
I'm doing good. I saw you remark that it was a good day of the mail for you. You got your New York Comic Con tickets?
Yes, I did, and I did not know you have to register them this year.
What does that even mean?
Okay, I guess for years now, they've been on a lanyard. You know, you just get a pass that says 3-day, 2-day, Monday, Friday, whatever you have, and you just show it as you walk in. Now, I guess there's a chip or something in them or whatever, and they're each, you know, have a number on them that you have to register. And now when you walk in, I don't know if there's going to be a machine there or a person. I'm guessing a person, because you could just walk past if it's just a machine, and you have to tap it on the machine and it'll read the chip and it'll say valid pass. So you can't, because they come out early, you can't counterfeit them now, because if you tap it, it doesn't have the chip, or you haven't logged in, it won't recognize the thing and they'll tell you to go outside. That's what I'm guessing by the paper I'm reading.
Sounds like a lot of work.
I say, too, and since it's the first year, nothing can go wrong. You know?
Oh, boy.
So you'll be hearing me tweet from the skies, you know, at New York this year complaining. But who knows? Hopefully it'll run smoothly. I have, positive thoughts. You know what I'm saying?
So I actually had a good mail day yesterday as well. My new MP3 player came in.
Ooh.
I'd been using this piece of garbage that I got. I'd mentioned in last week's show, this piece of junk that didn't even hold the charge for 3 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I always get the same one. I don't go with the iTunes. I don't, we've talked enough about the iTunes here, and we'll tell you to go there later. But, we're still working on our issues with iTunes. We're aware of them. We're working on them. I'm getting emails all the time. I want it fixed, even though I don't get my podcast that way. But a lot of people do. So it's this Sony Walkman MP3 player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you just go to Amazon or whatever and you order it. And they always send you whatever the most recent version of it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the one that I got in the mail yesterday is slightly different than the one that I've had for the last 2 years. And you know me, I don't like change.
Not even spare change in your pocket, I know.
Not even spare change. The baby takes it. He likes the big ones. He puts them in his Batman piggy bank.
Good for him.
That's right. So I've yet to really fire it up, but it's lighter than the one. There was a little a hold button on, a hold switch. Now is a hold button. I'm happy to have the MP3 player that I'm used to, but it's slightly different, and I don't like change. But I'm glad I can get rid of the one that doesn't hold the charge.
Good. So you got a little better, but not quite perfect, but that is the way of life.
That is correct. Yes.
Good for you. Well, we got a light news this week, but I think we'll manage. We have a new casting news. We also have a diamond shipping oopsie.
Oh, boy, that's a good one.
And also a high-priced book that kind of blew my mind last week.
Yeah, you wanted to bring this one up, and I was very surprised by this. I know this is not the sort of thing that we talk about on the show, but alas, we shall be today.
Yes. We have what we read last week. I think we cross over on just about everything but one book that's near and dear to your heart, Itty Bitty Hellboy.
Yes. Oh, you didn't pick it up?
No, I didn't.
Oh, for shame.
For shame. I want you to have all the Balthazar and Franco street cred here. I don't want to steal it from you. Also, we have what we're looking forward to this week, and it's a crazy week because the Villains Month starts this month, so I don't know if we'll be the same or what we'll have.
Who knows? It's going to be a crazy next couple weeks.
Yes, it will be. We also have our digital sales, and the Twitter question this last week was, what character would you like to see go to another company?
Right.
Some interesting answers on this one. I had to really think about this one.
Now, see, I was in between two, two switches. If I could trade one straight up for the other, that's what I would have done. But that wasn't what I came up with. I came up with something else. So I made my decision.
Me too. It was hard, but eventually got there.
So we have other stuff to talk about as well. You'd mentioned digital stuff, of course, and of course your trip this weekend as well. But let's dive right into the news before we get into that.
Okay. I'd like to start with a little bit of casting news.
Yeah, you know, we don't usually talk much about the casting stuff, unless it's a light news week, and then we throw it in here to pad out the show, being completely honest with you. So, two big Marvel casting things came through, and a very odd denial. I don't know if you saw the denial on the DC side. Marvel has cast James Spader as Ultron, and Bradley Cooper as the voice of Rocket Raccoon in the upcoming respective Avengers 2 and Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Which I'm actually surprised, you know, that we're getting news on Ultron. Rocket Raccoon, I kind of understand, because, I mean, the movie comes out next year.
Yeah, it's being filmed as we speak, yeah.
Right, but I figure because it's, unless they actually got a raccoon to act, I'm guessing it's going to be voiceover stuff, so I can kind of see why you don't need that to go right into it. But the James Spader this early, it kind of surprised me.
Yeah, you know what? I think it was probably just something that they finalized. They want to get some word out. Let's get some early buzz going. Obviously, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if he's just going to be the voice of Ultron or if he's going to be like some sort of like cyborg, you know, the Vic Stone character from DC, kind of like human android hybrid, because they did say it's going to be a different Ultron.
Right.
Than what we're used to in the comic books.
Yeah, like there's speculation that it's a suit of Tony's armor with the Jarvis tech gone crazy and this and that. So we'll see. I think, I don't know, because I would put money on that it's just going to be a voiceover. Because I don't see him doing, James Spader doing a lot of action stuff. I don't know, he's getting older, you know. So I don't know. That's just my take on it.
It'll be very interesting to see which way they go. Spader's a really good actor, and, you know, they do a really good job at casting good actors for their stuff.
Where was the internet outrage for Bradley Cooper on Rocket Raccoon? I don't see him as the talking raccoon I envisioned my whole life. You know, no, I'm fine. I've seen him in, you know, I've seen some of A-Team and some other stuff. He's funny. I have no problem with it. So
I have a bracelet that I wear.
What would Raccoon do?
You're very close. Very close. It says A-B-R-R.
A-V-R-R?
A-B-R-R. Oh. You want to guess what that stands for?
I don't know.
Anyone but Ryan Reynolds.
Ah, I should have known. Your love of Ryan Reynolds is still legendary.
Right. Because, you know, there's, like, I saw somebody the other day. It's like, they're like, man, the Deadpool movie with Ryan Reynolds is still coming. And I'm like, oh, no. The Deadpool movie with Ryan Reynolds could still be coming.
Don't threaten me, is what you're saying.
Right. It's like, it's a threat, you know? It's it's like, huh? You like comics, do you? Marvel's on a good roll with their comic book movies? Here's a surefire way to tank it.
Well, see, if that did happen, though, Leonard, it wouldn't be Marvel doing it. It would be Fox.
Well, maybe. And this is, you know, obviously, we're going to get into a little wrestling discussion here. There's all sorts of speculation and theories of what has happened in the world of wrestling, going all the way back to when Scott Hall and Kevin Nash jumped to WWF from WWF to WCW, the NWO, all this other stuff that had happened. There's rumors and there's people that actually believe that Vince McMahon purposely let them out of their contracts to kill WCW from the inside.
Ooh. Then why didn't they send the Cerebral Assassin?
Triple H, he wasn't as big as a name yet. Oh. He was still up and coming.
Oh, see, I thought they knew he was the Cerebral Assassin back then. I forget my timeline.
No, anyway. He was just the Connecticut Blue Blood, Hunter versus Helmsley at the time.
He hadn't honed his assassin skills yet.
No, he certainly had not. So I would not put it above like Fox to see like the time ticking away on their contract to the X-Men rights. And before they revert back to Marvel, it's like, let's just tank the whole franchise. Give them a giant steaming turd to try to polish.
So give them a Batman and Robin before
get
they go
out.
Get
me Ryan Reynolds.
Ugh. I think every producer has him on speed dial.
Oh boy.
Neither here nor there.
There's people like that I have on my phone that when their number comes up, because like, I always look to see who's calling, but there were times where like I might not be in the right mind, and right. I would have to say I'd change their name to Do Not Answer.
Oh, okay.
So just in case I'm like, oh, the phone's ringing, I'll pick it up. I always look first. I'm like, oh, I can't answer that.
See, I was wondering why you called me DNA. when I wasn't around.
No, that's Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, right?
That's right. That is right.
How dare you?
I know.
So, yeah, I'm okay with Bradley Cooper. Like, he's not offensive. He's a fine actor. Should the role, like, in a perfect world, it would have been, what's his face? Michael Rooker doing the voice, but Michael Rooker is Yondu in the movie. I'm sure that's a higher paying gig, not as high profile, but he's live action. He has to wear the fancy blue paint. I know you had mentioned before whether they trained a raccoon to act. If you follow James Gunn on Twitter, like I do, on his Instagram, he's put up lots of pictures of like him with like live raccoons. So they have live raccoons on set that they're using for some sort of something.
Maybe just like action shots of raccoons running over to and fro.
Them to Michael Rooker.
Yes. And I still stand by Groot should have been Clint Eastwood. I'm just going to say that, you know, just get him to say I am Groot 5,000 different ways and you're good to go for all sequels here on out.
There's an interview that Neil Patrick Harris did when he talked about doing the voice of the Spider-Man cartoon that was on MTV.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he was going to talk about Smurfs, but go ahead.
No. This is back, you know, I'm not going to disparage Neil Patrick Harris. He's a good man.
Oh, I like Neil Patrick Harris.
So he talked about how one day when he went into the sound recording booth, it was two things. It was him recording, saying Mary Jane's name in different
inflections.
In different inflections and different shots, like as though he was getting punched. Mm-hmm. So the whole day was just him going, MJ, 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 and for getting hit, you know? So that was an entire day of recording. I can only imagine Clint Eastwood would be like, I am Groot. That's all I'm giving you.
Or maybe Christopher Walken as Groot.
Nah, I think Christopher Walken's a little played out.
What? I was gonna do my Christopher Walken impersonation because I know you love
it. Oh, please. Go ahead.
I am a Groot.
Oh, is that Jay Moore?
Yeah, I was just gonna
say. Master Impressionist Jay Moore.
I know I feel like I'm almost on par with Jay Moore.
I think you've beaten him. You've like if he's a 2, then you're a 2.5.
Wow. More cowbell. See? Nailing it. But anyway.
Oh my god. It's getting horrible now. So all right, so Marvel, Bradley Cooper is Rocket Raccoon, that's great. James Spader's gonna be Ultron, that's good too. I saw recently that the Lex Luthor casting that we all thought was going to happen, was speculated was going to happen, with Bryan Cranston, looks like it may not be happening.
Right. I just have one thing on this. When has it ever played out that it was that, when it's speculation? Did anybody, like, you know, speculate that it was Ben Affleck? Did anybody speculate it was Bradley Cooper?
They had him direct in the Justice League movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but that's playing Batman how?
Close enough. Fact that he was in, like, that means he was in talks.
Mm-hmm. And all those big rumors of James Spader too being Ultron. I just laugh. It's never who, like, we all speculate it's going to be, or they speculate. It always turns out to be somebody else. That's all I'm saying.
And again, I always like to think that this is like a lie. Like,
okay,
you know, he's. I think he had said that it was going to be 6 movies. And he said, well, okay, so they questioned him whether or not he was going to be playing Lex in no fewer than 6 movies. And he said, 6? Ha ha ha. This is all news to me. I think that maybe my name is bandied about because I'm known to be bald. What bald guy can we get? The reality is they can take any actor and shave his head or put a bald cap on him. Now, that's not a denial.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm totally with you. I just laugh that, like, that people do it, and then it usually doesn't turn out to do it. I think Bryan Cranston, you know, he's a great actor. That series he was on, what was it, Malcolm in the Middle.
That's where
he get his, you know, chops for being a villain. But, yeah, like, I would have no problem with it.
He's a really good actor, and I think he can bring some pathos to the role, and I also think that he can bring some humor to the role as well. So Cranston is one of those actors that was really unassuming in his roles in Malcolm in the Middle and other things, and he's one of those guys that really can do it all, in my opinion. I'd like to see him play Lex Luthor, and maybe that's what it is. Like, these people speculate on who they'd like to see in the hopes that, like, hey, let's get somebody actually good to do these roles.
Oh, I totally agree. You want great actors, and I'm looking forward to seeing him. I think one of the next roles he's in is Godzilla, I'm pretty sure. And that's slowly becoming like a big movie for me next year. I'm a Godzilla fan, so yeah, like, he's a great actor, and I would love to see him as Lex Luthor. I would have no problem.
Right, and I'd like to say, like, we're a ways away from seeing who will be cast, actually, but we're even further away from when Avengers 2 is coming out, and we already know some of the casting in that.
Right.
So let's just continue on here in the news. I do want to mention that Saga won some of the Hugo Awards, Best Graphic Story, this past weekend. We talked about the Hugo Awards before with the kerfuffle that happened many, many moons ago regarding Sandman winning it. It's primarily a sci-fi fantasy sort of thing, and there was a change in the rules that was speculated that we found out not to be true, and so Saga winning all sorts of awards, and there's a reason. It's awesome.
Yes, it does deserve them. We'll say
that. It is the number one comic that I refer to anyone. Anytime anyone anywhere says, hey, comic books, and I'm like, you need to read Saga.
That is a good choice. I really haven't done that in a while because I've converted all the people that I know. I have to go find new people, but Saga is a good one.
You need to get out more.
Oh, no, I'm living the life here in Casa de Roca.
You should have just walked around the Italian festival this past weekend yelling, Saga, bring out your Saga.
Get your red hot Saga here. Just give copies away.
Oh, boy. So, again, with our news... Oh, yeah, so you had mentioned about the the Avengers thing, the diamond mistake that happened.
The oopsie.
So, in addition to DC having a pretty good success with their original graphic novels, their Earth One stuff, the two Superman and the one Batman one that they've done so far, Marvel decided that they're going to get in that, get big-name creators on original graphic novels, but these ones are going to tie into the continuity. And they had Warren Ellis and Mike McCone on the first one, and it was scheduled to come out in October. But then Diamond sent it out, over a month early. So all the retailers are sitting on them. I'm surprised it hasn't leaked online, but I guess the the Diamond people and the retailers fear Marvel more than they do DC. It seems like if this happened to DC, like, this would have been all over.
True. I think DC gets a lot more press. I don't know if it's because they get more press, we're seeing more mistakes, or in Marvel, they doesn't get the press, so we don't see it as much. But I do believe what you're saying. If DC had done this, it would be all over the websites. Like, look, DC does it again, blah, blah, blah. They can't handle anything. And like you said, it would be all over the piracy stuff, the torrents or whatever. But I know they're not going to sell any because if they get caught, they're in big trouble. So, not like you said, that doesn't mean you can't scan it and put it up online. But selling them, I don't see that happening.
Well, that's what I mean. Remember, and again, I eat my words. Remember all the stuff that happened back in December with the leaked early issue of Amazing Spider-Man 700?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't somebody selling a copy of that or something?
Mm-hmm.
They got on the subway. I forget what the story was. But anyway, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I remember that now. So Marvel, when they do get it, it's usually something big. When they get kind of shafted like that, when something gets leaked early or, but this one I'm surprised not to see, even reviews or even people talking about it. It was like Diamond mentioned it last week, and then it was quietly squashed.
Yeah. And they didn't get them until yesterday, so Tuesday before New Comic Day. So if we look now, maybe there'll be something up there. But anyway.
I don't do that sort of thing. How dare you?
I don't either. I don't want to know. I'll buy it because it's Warren Ellis probably, when it come October, many, many weeks from now.
So I think that really covers the news. Like I said, there wasn't a ton of stuff. Before we get into digital stuff and all sorts of jazz like that, I would be remiss to mention that this weekend is not only Baltimore Con, but also Cincy Con.
Yes.
At the Northern Kentucky Convention Center, and that is a Cincinnati Comic Con, and there's actually another Comic Con next week in Cincinnati as well. But the big news, of course, is not only is Baltimore Comic Con happening just in a less than 3 days, but Todd is going to the show. Our man in the street will be there.
Yes, I will, with my trusty AC/DC bag on, walking around in my brightly colored clothes. No, probably my black T-shirt and shorts. I'll be on the con floor. You know, boots on the ground, if you will.
Right, and both cons actually have huge, huge guest lists. Like, it's crazy to see how big both guest lists are. You know, we'll talk at length about Baltimore right now and next week. But Cincinnati has Art Adams, has Bernie Wrightson, has Jason Aaron, has Jeff Darrow, Tony Harris. Tons and tons. Tony Moore is going to be there. Tons and tons of people are going to be at the Cincinnati con. And then, of course, at Baltimore, it's... You know, we're talking Ed McGuinness, we're talking David Finch, we're talking Terry Moore, Chris Somney, Mike Mignola, who unfortunately is not doing sketches from what I understand, Keith Giffen, Mark Waid, blah, 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 blah. But Charles Soule is going to be there, our new favorite writer on the show.
Yes, he is.
And did you see, I should send you the link, did you see the press kits for Letter 44?
Yes, you don't have to send it to me. He tweeted it himself.
Okay.
So when I heard you talk about it, and then I don't know if he tweeted it shortly before it or after, but because he's in my timeline, I was like, oh, there it is. And that thing is sweet.
That is, like, not only is it sweet, it's, like, ingenious what is in there. And, like, it would be awesome to get one of those. It would really be awesome to get one of those. But I just want the sticker. I've been on a sticker kick lately. I want stickers for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a black and white preview. It comes in a classified thing from the White House that has certain lines etched out.
Redacted.
Redacted, that's right. It has a cool poster, and it also comes with astronaut ice cream.
If as press we get one of those, you can have the sticker. I want the ice cream.
Okay. And it is from Oni, though, so hopefully you asking about one of these does not cause another international incident like last time.
Oh, the Helheim incident?
Yes.
Of 2012, as I call it.
Let's get you in trouble with Oni again. You're going to get on their watch list.
They'll be like, here comes that guy dressed in his black clothes. I'm sent over like Scott Hall and Kevin Nash to destroy Oni.
I'm Vince Russo at home just pulling the strings.
That's right.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So, you know, even if you just, you know, I would like, you know, I don't know what your plan is, and I'm very excited to hear. I actually have nothing for you to get for me. You go, you know, if one of those comes your way, by all means, I'd like the sticker, but, you know, I will somehow live my life without the sticker from Letter 44. So what is your plan for Baltimore? I want to hear what you have on tap for yourself.
It's one of those things. I almost have no plan, which is really weird. But I found out, like, from going to cons for, you know, 10, 15 years now, I've met just about everybody I want to meet. And, like, you know, except for up-and-comers like Charles Soule, so I'll go meet him. And there's older guys that I like to meet. I don't really go in with a game plan. I'll look at the names and see, well, maybe I want to see this guy, try to get a sketch from him. But since I've met a lot of people, I don't have, like, you know, like, oh, I have to meet this person. The big thing for me is early in the day is Barry Kitson is there.
Oh, okay.
And he does free sketches. Free, fully rendered sketches.
What?
But the thing is, here's the thing. It's first come, first serve.
Mm-hmm.
If you're first in line, I'm not sure 100% how this works because I've never done it. You're first, you go first. Second person in line, it's not, you put your name on the list. You have to stand there. So, like, since they're free, so the first person has to watch his sketch be done, and then when it's over, he can leave. You can't go, all right, I'm two, I'll come back later. You have to stay there. So, like, if you're four or whatever, you might get yours at the end of the day, and then I hear he takes names, maybe. Mm-hmm. And when you come back Sunday, he's like, all right, I know who was who. in line. So, like, you know, you go back to your line. So depending if I can get there early enough and get one or be person one or two, I'm going for a Barry Kitson sketch. After that, it's just whoever's got an open list and pick up some books and try to get you a sticker, stuff like that.
Yeah. So if you do get in the Kitson line for the free sketch.
Yes.
Who are you asking for?
You're gonna know who it is, but I don't know how many people will, because he did the Legion 89 books at one point. You know,
okay.
the that were in our time, Vrildox.
Oh yeah, of course.
Which is just a weird, like, you know, like there's so many characters that he's done, but I love Vrildox, and he's one of the guys who did it. There's not many people who did those Legion books, and later on in Rebels, he was in Rebels. That's just, I love that character. And the logo they use for the Legion is a hand going over a sun, and then the beams coming out of the fingers and everything. I just always totally enjoyed that book and that character. So that's that. And then after that, maybe another Tony Harris doodle. I'd like to get a Shade doodle to go with my Starman doodle. After that, craziness happens.
Well, good luck. You're going both days, correct?
Yes, I am. And maybe see Kevin Maguire at one point.
Oh, boy. Somebody have a camera on Todd when that happens.
What? I'm going to come up with respect and love and hugs. That's the way I do it.
And I guess some of our listeners are going to be there. I think Jason Kirk said he's going to be there.
Yes.
So if you are a listener of the show, track Todd down. His picture is on the site. If you go to grizzlyproductions.tv and look at, like, hosts of the show, you'll be able to see what Todd looks like. He does not look like his Twitter avatar.
No.
So, you know, if you get any random Todd sightings, tweet them out to us. And I do apologize. We talked about the cons. So there was one last bit of news that we forgot that you wanted us to talk about. And that was the Deadpool first appearance getting the CGC rating with the high sale. So what are we talking about here? What's the word?
The book is one of the few tens, I guess, that CGC has put out. I don't know how many they have. I don't have, you know, they do have a record of their stuff. So maybe there's more than a bunch that I don't know of. But so that's a first appearance of Deadpool, which is New Mutants 98, I believe.
Yes.
And 10, you know, 10.0 or whatever you want to call it, sold last week for $15,000.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
That's my problem with it. I have no problem with Deadpool, popular character, well-loved. You know, what a 98 goes for, I don't know. I'd have to, you know, check MySpace, eBay, and see, like, you know, closed auctions. But, you know, I look at that, and we talk about this at the shop all the time, not me and Leonard so much, but a bunch of other people, how you can buy a nice copy of Amazing Fantasy 15. Not like a, you know, like a 2.0 is $4,000. So you can buy a nice copy of the first appearance of Spider-Man, or buy a 10 of the first appearance of Deadpool, which was only how many years ago? I mean, it's still a while ago. It's the 90s, so it's still, you know, 20-some years ago? 30? I don't know. I'd have to do the math, and I don't like doing that. But that's not too long ago for a book to be $15,000. And that's one of the things that I don't like about CGC.
It looks like the normal issue sells about, on average, about $100.
That's quite a markup.
It is quite a markup. It is a 150% markup.
Mm-hmm.
I do not own a CGC book. I do not want CGC books. I think it's silly, but more power to you if that's how you want to collect your comics. As long as you're buying them, I guess that's up to you on what you're going to do with them. But to me, it just seems like a waste of time.
See, I like CGC's idea, but I think it's been warped, like, through sorcery over the years. And by sorcery, I mean Wizard Magazine back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. I really think CGC, like, I have CGC books, but they're all, like, Silver Age books or top, like, expensive books, like, you know, that I bought. And I think it's good when you don't know how to grade, like I did a few years ago. I still not great at it. I go through Dave to help me grade everything. But if you're going to CGC a Silver Age book that's a lot of money, like say an old Showcase 8, the first appearance of Captain Cold or something like that. These books are so expensive that you can't go, all right, it's a 9.8, which normally goes for like $20,000 because it's the first appearance of Captain Cold. Well, it's a 9.8. Let's make it $90,000. It doesn't really work that way when you have the higher grade books, as far as I'm concerned. But if you don't know what you're getting, it's supposed to tell you, oh, this is a 5.0, that's worth this. And it works. And that's the way it should work, but it doesn't. People just use it to be, oh, if it's at this grade, I should do X percent more of what the book is worth. And I think that's where the ridiculousness comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So CGC irks me when stuff like that happens. So I wanted to talk about it.
All right. Our continued assault against CGC.
Ah, we'll live.
I'm okay with that.
Me too.
So just to kind of wrap things up, go find Todd in Baltimore this weekend. If you're out in the Cincinnati area, go hit up that convention. If you can't make that one, there's another one in the area next week. We'll be talking about it there. I'm making a much more concerted effort to talk about conventions as they're happening.
Yep, and if you don't see my picture on the site and you can't find it, just imagine what retired Thor would look like, and that's what you should look for at the Baltimore Con.
Well, we're going to talk about that later, too. I also want to just mention here before we get into the digital stuff and all the, you know, the what we read last week, our friend Mike Kingston, his Kickstarter project is well over his goal. He's about $4,000 over his goal. He was a guest on our show a couple weeks ago. He does have something new in there that if it gets to $23,000, currently it's hovering right around $21,000. If it gets to $23,000, they are going to release more and more stuff of original Headlock stories. So go check his Kickstarter out, Headlock the Last Territory. You could just search that. You could search his name on Kickstarter, or you could just click on the link that we have in the show notes, as we are wont to do.
Yes, good for him.
And digital freebies and sales and so forth that we have this week. Marvel, of course, has their freebie stuff. They have X-Men number one when they did the whole relaunch where it was X-Men versus Vampires. They have the first issue of the Carnage miniseries. That was, I think, Carnage versus Spider-Man and Iron Man, written by Zeb Wells. And Battle Scars, which was one of the Fear Itself Fallout books, co-written by Matt Fraction and Colin Bunn. Those are all your freebies. Right now, there's a sale going on at Comixology of John Byrne stuff, specifically his IDW stuff. I think there's some Next Men stuff in there, which I've actually never read.
I've never read any of the Next Men stuff either.
Hmm. Well, it's on sale. If I am so inclined, now is the time to pick it up. And I hate to say this, but like, they had a really good sale over the weekend. I can't stress this enough. Always keep your eyes on Comixology because they always have sales on the weekends. Like Friday, they'll put a sale up that just over the weekend. And then they always put a new sale up on Tuesdays. The sale that they had up over the weekend was a whole bunch of Dan Slott stuff. And I could nitpick it to death. There was a ton of Amazing Spider-Man stuff. There was the Amazing Spider-Man Human Torch miniseries, which is actually very difficult to come by.
Yes, I thought they hardcovered that.
They did, but again, I'm no offense, it's a hardcover. That's like a 5-issue miniseries is a hardcover. They should have put more stuff up there. They should have put the Thing series that he did. They should have put some She-Hulk stuff up there. But I picked up the Spider-Man Human Torch miniseries. Luckily, it already had the first issue from when they gave it away for free back in February or whenever that was, March.
No Ren and Stimpy?
No, there was no Ren and Stimpy there either.
That's sad.
That is sad. So, again, I can pick and choose these sales the way I'd like them to be, but unfortunately, I cannot.
Yes.
But one thing that I can do is, if you are a digital comic book person, and maybe you're the type of digital comic person who likes to get yourself your comics DRM free, where you don't have to worry about relying on Comixology, like you go to Image or one of the other many companies that send you a PDF. I know Brian K. Vaughan's book Panel Syndicate you can get as a PDF. And you wonder to yourself, well, all these books pile up. Where am I going to keep these digital books? For me, with my physical books, it's easy. I buy this white box, I put all my books in them, and I have dozens of them at my house.
Yes.
But for you, your computer's probably running out of space to keep all these DRM comics. How about we check out our friends at File Transporter? File Transporter is like your own private cloud device, but it's a physical device that you have that you don't have to worry about the mystery of the cloud. It confuses me. I don't know how it makes any sense. There's other places that store your stuff offline, but you have to pay a monthly service fee. None of that with File Transporter. You pay one time, you get your device, you get as much storage as you want, all the way up to 2 terabytes, and you are good to go forever. You don't have to worry about anybody else. It's just you and your transporter.
Yes. And if you'd like to check them out, go to filetransporter.com/longbox, and you can check out all the information there. And if you'd like to purchase, press buy and go to the connected data link, click on that, and at checkout, put in the code longbox, the super secret code longbox, and get 10% off your whole order.
Our good friends at Transporter have given you a deal through us. And again, just make sure you hit up that URL, throw us at the backside there, put the code in, and you're going to get yourself a deal on an awesome storage device.
Yep.
And I'm going to stop messing up.
What?
So, where would you like to begin with books that we read from this past week, my good man?
Would you like to start with Thor, God of Thunder?
Oh, boy. Sit down, everybody. Thor, God of Thunder, number 12. Written by Jason Aaron with art by Nick Klein, not the usual artist. They did have one fill-in in between the middle of the God Bomb story arc there as well. This is kind of a wrap-up of the God Bomb story arc, kind of where our three Thors are. I find it very interesting that they really keep hammering home the fact that they're going to forget this mission.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting that that's like a big thing that they mentioned quite a bit in the last issue, and that they mentioned quite a bit in this issue.
Yes.
So, what did you think of this book?
I loved this issue. This issue is slowly climbing up there as maybe is my favorite of the year. As we get close to, you know, the end of the year and we do all those wrap-up questions that we do, this could very well be one of those issues that's in there. This is one of those perfect issues for me that that I've always talked about with people is, you know, I love a huge epic story and a storyline, and that's what we got in the God Bomb with Thor. And then after that, you always need a down issue. And I don't mean depressing issue. I mean, like, you know, a day in the life or something. And Thor is that. And this issue made me laugh, cry. It opened up a whole new areas for new storylines. There was a couple of things that, you know, you're like, okay, you can go on that. And this new characters. This is a perfect story. And Jason Aaron has done it before with me. I look back at Scalp Hunter, the one issue with the two Indians, Native Americans who lived in, with the jets flying overhead.
Yes.
Do you remember that issue? And that's another issue. I don't have the number in front of me, but Jason Aaron can take anything and make it seem like natural two people talking. And there's a God of Thunder and an old friend just sitting and they talk. And at no point do I think mystic, you know, God from another realm. I'm like, these are two people who care about each other just talking. And he does that so well. And it's the perfect issue. I'm rambling on because it is so, so good.
Right, we've talked a lot about we both like Thor, God of Thunder, and we're like, oh, it's in the middle of a storyline, it's going to be tough to pick up now. You know, it's just kind of doing this, and it's just kind of doing that. Now is the time. This past issue would have been a great one. It's kind of cleaning up what we just saw, leading into the next story arc. You don't really need to know anything that's been going on in the previous, you know, Thor continuity. It's all right here. It's a self-contained issue. It's a great issue. It hits every emotion perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. All I know is not to spoil anything, the piece of fruit part of the story.
Yes.
Was crushing. I was like, this is amazing. And it kind of reminds me of, we were talking about this with somebody, Sandman. And I don't want to say Sandman-esque because Sandman sets a high bar. But you remember how, like, Neil Gaiman, when he was writing Sandman, would be like, here's a blah, 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 and I'm going to throw out a little thing, and I can come back anytime I want and do a story about that. That's the way I feel about a lot of these little parts, even the fruit parts. Like, is there a story there? Someday we may get it. We may not, but either way, it's great. And I can't wait to see Jason Aaron at one of the conventions and talk to him about this issue.
Yeah, and again, as Todd mentioned, it did get a little dusty reading this issue.
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did. So we talk about it quite a bit, and, you know, Todd is exactly right. This is a definite top five, if not a top three book for 2013. Just an unbelievably great comic book.
Yes.
My wife is actually getting a chance to finally get caught up on some books. Like, she just kind of got caught up on Indestructible Hulk. She got caught up on Saga. She's getting caught up on Superior Spider-Man. And she's as caught up as she can be on Thor, because the way that my borrowing comic system goes, she's two issues behind, this one and 11. And as she's giving me comics back, and I'm like, are you caught up on Thor? I'm like, oh, that's right, Tony has those ones. Ugh! Like, I want her to read these two issues, like, specifically this one, so bad.
Yes. She's digging it, though, right?
Yes. Yes, she is.
I figured she wouldn't have got this far if she wasn't, so that's awesome.
No, no. So, yeah, so that's really good. I'll talk briefly about Itty Bitty Hellboy, because there's only so much you really can say about it. By Art Balthazar and Franco of Tiny Titans, All Yeah Comics, Superman Family Adventures, and it is what you think it is. Now, I don't know much about the Hellboy universe outside of the movies. I don't think I've ever read a Hellboy comic in my life. But, you know, I think I would like to hear from fans of Hellboy who read this and what they thought of it. I thought this was just a light, fun book with these characters, and I'm sure there's bits and pieces in there, like little inside jokes, that if you read these Hellboy comics, then you get them. But I thought it was a fun book. It was a cute read. I like the villains. I like their little simple, I guess, disagreement that's set up in the book, the little rivalry that's set up in the book. And it's fun. It's five issues. I'm sure it'll be a blast.
Yeah, that's what they do. I mean, how much did you really have to know about Tiny Titans to read Tiny Titans or whatever they do? To me, you know, their books have always been very accessible to pick it up, you know, and go. And I wanted to try it last week, but I just forgot about it. You know, they're fun. I love them when they do this type of thing.
But I think a lot more of the Titans stuff is more, I guess, pop culture-y.
True.
Because there's been comic books and, you know, cartoons that they've been in. They've been around a lot longer. They've had action figures. They've had multiple toy lines and all this other stuff, where Hellboy is very popular enough to get two movies made. But I don't know if it has the same penetration that Teen Titans does.
True. I was just thinking, you know, that kind of thing where you don't have to worry about any plot lines or anything. So even if you don't get the mythos exactly correct, you're not disrespecting it or going crazy. It's just something that you can get in on the ground floor and go crazy with. That's more I meant of their style, you know?
Mm-hmm. So what would you like to talk about next?
What about All-Star Western to have a, you know, Jason Aaron bread sandwich as we go?
Right. All-Star Western number 23, written by Justin Gray, Jimmy Palmiotti. With art by Moritat. This is the continuation of Jonah being stuck in our time. He got whisked here by Booster Gold, who is no longer around. And now Jonah is having the time that you would expect him to have in modern day.
Modern day Gotham, an interesting place for an old Confederate soldier.
Yes.
But I really like this issue. A couple of things. I liked, if you read it and as you see Batman discussing Jonah Hex's fate, for a minute, he's like, what happened to him in the Old West? That's true. There's been DC Special Series, issue 16 was that, the final, you know, fate of Jonah Hex. And they mentioned it in the Jonah Hex 70 of the last issue's run. So I thought that was really cool that they stayed, you know, true to that, and didn't, you know, even with the Bronze Age stuff, Jonah Hex, you know, Jimmy and Justin are being true to the origins and the stories. I kind of like that. And I like the fact that this is a story about guns in modern time, and he could have hammered home a message on either side. And the thing I really like about it is he walked the tightrope. And I think they did it really well. Because I was afraid I was going to get an either anti-gun message or a pro-gun message. And he just equally does both sides. And I think that's great. I think that's a cool thing to do.
While I agree with you that I like this a lot, I did feel that a lot of the message, Jonah's conversation with his lady friend,
mm-hmm.
might have been a little politicized for some people. Not for me. I'm cool either way. Like, hey, whatever you want to do, it fit with the characters and it fit with everything that's going on in the stories. But I think there might have been some people, and I can't speak for anyone, and I haven't seen any sort of outcry online or anything like that, that they may have felt that Jimmy and Justin may have been putting their own political bent on the book.
Okay. On that aspect of it, maybe. But like I said, I thought the guns, not so much. But whatever. I look at Jonah as he really doesn't care about anything and anyone other than his money. So, and, you know, his life and doing what he wants, like drinking and meeting, you know, fine ladies. So, you know, like I honestly think he really doesn't care about a lot of that stuff. So it really didn't bother me as an old Jonah Hex fan. And like I said, I'm the same way with you as a politicizing. As long as you don't really, like, you know, just drive it home, it doesn't bother me.
Right. And that's, and you know, I didn't take anything from it, but I could definitely see people possibly taking something from it.
Fair enough.
But it was a really good issue. Yes. All-Star Western continues to be a great book.
Yes.
So, last but not least, as we had mentioned, it is a Jason Aaron sandwich, if you will. We started off with Thor. We're ending it with a mini-series that's ending, and that's Thanos Rising number 5, written by Jason Aaron, with art by Simone Bianchi. It is the end of Thanos' origin tale, as they have been telling over the last several months, and it was late, because it does mention in there to pick up Infinity, which comes out next week, August 12th.
Right, so it might be a little off, unless they sent it. You know what, they took all the stuff from sending Warren Ellis's early, that this one got sent a little late.
There you go.
You gotta take time from somewhere, but go ahead.
This was the one that you were most looking forward to from last week, if I remember correctly, yes?
Yes.
And what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. As a Thanos fan, like an old Thanos fan, it doesn't really contradict anything. A lot of the stuff that's going on with his love interest and stuff like that. But whether or not things are quite the way they are, we're not sure. And I really like that. I'm fine with that, because he doesn't stomp on Jim Starlin, but he doesn't, you know, like, just like totally fall in line with it. So I was really interested. I like that it kind of ends before we see him go off and meet Warlock and I'm trying to think of the Captain Atom and all the characters and the Infinity Gauntlet story. And then it's him looking back. So I feel like this story slides right in to Thanos mythos without any problem, and I really enjoyed it.
Right. That's what I was actually going to say, is they didn't come in here to change his origin of, like, everything you knew about him was wrong. I think that they gave a little bit more, a little bit more meat to his origin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a very positive thing that they did. So I like this a lot. I thought it was a beautifully written book. I thought it was a beautifully drawn book. And again, it didn't poo-poo on anything that had come before it. And I think, in fact, it makes it stronger.
Right. I they've always called him the Mad God of Titan. Mm-hmm. And Jason Aaron helps him get that moniker, which I think is one of the things that he kind of loses later in some of the stories. Early on, they, you know, nut bar. That's kind of the way they describe him. So I'm fine with this.
Yeah, so Thanos Rising number 5 was great. I'm sure it'll be collected shortly. And I think I have, you know, I kind of have a feeling that you can read Infinity without reading this, or vice versa.
No problem. I don't think that they're anyway going to like be like, oh, you had to read that, because I read the first issue of Infinity and it really doesn't even touch on any of this stuff.
Yes, it's just coincidental that he is going to be, you know, he is the main villain in Infinity.
Right.
So I think that covers what we read from last week. I know you had a couple other things. I don't know if you want to hit some quick shots on some of the other books.
Oh, no, that's it.
All right. So what are we looking forward to coming out this week, sir?
On a smaller note, this is my 1A, is X-Factor 262, because it's the final issue of Peter David's 10-year run, one of my favorite writers. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, see if hopefully we'll get something out of that. But my big book is Forever Evil by Geoff Johns.
And
that's the one.
I was going to say the little one for me, and again, the 1A, I guess, would, or the 1B, rather, would be Quantum and Woody number 3.
Mm-hmm.
I liked issue 1. Issue 2 was much better. I got a chance to look at issue 3 a little early.
Oh.
Oh, that's the kind of show we are these days.
Yes.
We might be doing that a little bit more often, talking about some books a little bit in advance, since that's the sort of show that we are these days. No spoilers, though.
No spoilers. We detest spoilers.
But, yeah, you could definitely check out Quantum and Woody number 3, because 1 and 2 were really good, and 3 continues on that path. But the one I'm most looking forward to is the same one that Todd is looking forward to, and that is Forever Evil number 1. I had come and gone whether or not I was going to stick with this stuff, the Justice League, the crossover, the Trinity, and all that sort of stuff. And on a whim, I read the last issue of Justice League number 23, and I liked it.
Yes.
So, based on that, and even though they kind of, you know, they wrap one crossover up saying it's going to be continued in the next crossover. A little corny, but what are you going to do? I'm looking forward to Forever Evil. It is the big event for DC. I like DC, so I'm excited for this.
Me too. I saw the last issue of Justice League, and it interested me and where we're going, and villains are always awesome. I like them sometimes better than the hero book, so we'll see.
So we'll include. You'll see all this in the notes in the show here, and I think that covers all that we are talking about from last week. What's coming out this week that we're most looking forward to, and of course we got to hit the plugs for us as a show. I know I mentioned at the beginning of the show about iTunes. Be sure if you're getting the show from there to leave us a 5-star review. I don't think we've gotten one in quite some time. I'm gonna chalk it up to other folks having the same issues with iTunes that I am having with getting our show from iTunes, because I do listen to our show each and every week. I do love the sound of my own voice. Nothing makes me happier. So if you are one of the folks who were getting the show through iTunes and no longer can for whatever reason, please let us know, whether you tweeted us, the show's Twitter, which is Weekly Longbox, whether you tweeted at Todd himself, that's Roker the Joker, R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker, or tweeted at me, L.F. Chikarason, that's L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N, or email me at that same lfchikarason@ymail.com, and I will try to put all the information together to get the problem with iTunes fixed. But in the meantime, we always tweet out the links. You can always go to grizzlyproduction.tv and get the show from there bright and early. It's usually up right around 9 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, and the snake is eating its own tail at this point, as I mentioned that. I think that's all we got of the places you could find us on the Twitter machine. So let's get into our Twitter question from last week.
Yes.
And our Twitter question from last week is about a draft, a trade, if you will. Who would you move from one universe to the other if you could? And I liked every single one of the suggestions made by our listeners. Our listeners are awesome, and there was a lot of great ones. It was the weird ones that I liked the most. Zeus Ramos, Cusack clone on Twitter, mentioned Atari Force to Marvel, even naming a creative team. Abnett and Lanning taking that over. Luis DeSantos, LD Santos on Twitter, mentioned Superman by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee at Marvel. A lot of Superman to Marvel. We also had Shazam, Captain Marvel to Marvel. Mr. Senior mentioned that one. A lot of Deadpool and Punisher going to DC. I think Robot Hammer specifically said Punisher kills the New 52 has a nice ring to it, don't it?
Yep.
Like I said, Superman was a lot. We had a lot of Deadpool and Punisher to DC. I think that's just people wanting to see New 52 kind of wiped off the face of the earth. We had some indie stuff. We had Spawn, Kevin Burza, Blood Nut on Twitter, Spawn going to Dark Horse. Our good buddy DJ wanted to see the Tick come to Marvel. And I think we also had Michael Hanskar, longtime listener, friend of the show, etc., saying Hellboy to Marvel. But, you know, for me, it was between two, and one of them was Superman to Marvel. That was one that was the forefront of my mind, Superman to Marvel. I think that would be interesting. I think somebody else mentioned on Twitter that Marvel tried their own Superman character in the Sentry, but I think they overcomplicated it. But the one that I went with was the one that I didn't see anyone at all mention, and I can completely understand why. But for me, I'd like to see Spider-Man in DC.
Hmm.
I think the, you know, and I'm talking like the classic Lee and Ditko era Spider-Man, you know, the happy-go-lucky sort of, I have to get Aunt May her medicine sort of Spider-Man. He would be the ultimate fish out of water in any sort of version of the DC universe you want to talk about. You want to talk about pre-crisis, you want to talk about post-crisis, you want to talk about Zero Hour, you want to talk about Hyper Time, you want to talk about New 52. I think there is a plethora of stories to be told of Peter Parker Spider-Man, even Doc Ock Spider-Man. Spoilers, everyone. For a story that's 9 months old. I would be interested to see either Spider-Man in the DC universe. I think there is, like I said, a wealth of stories to be told there.
Yeah, that's a cool one. He would definitely, especially New 52, where you can't tell a joke, and Spider-Man would be. That'd be pretty cool. But it's an interesting one. I originally thought was Nick Fury to DC.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Because no matter how much I read DC, I never believe any government agency they set up, whether it's Argus or the DEO or whatever. They just never have the cachet that S.H.I.E.L.D. ever did. So I was kind of thinking that way. I was like, oh, like, let's think bigger picture. But then the one that I thought would be more fun was I'm going to go independent to Marvel. And we said team at one point, so the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with Casey Jones to the Marvel Universe.
Wow.
I think they would be fun because then you can have them interact with the street-level characters of New York. And plus, maybe, you know, have, you know, they're mutants. So, like, you know, they have that whole X-Men knock on them that they're people hate mutants. They live in the sewers. You could fight the Morlocks. I don't know. I just thought it would be a fun, weird, quirky side craziness of the Turtles in the Marvel Universe.
I like that. That's a really good thought. You know, there's a lot of different, I think, and again, as you mentioned, there's, I think there's a lot of stories to be told of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Casey Jones in Marvel. That's a great one.
Thank you.
So that, thank you to everyone who contributed to our Twitter question from this past week. And Todd, I understand you have a Twitter question for this week.
Yes. Basically, I like talking about my favorite creators on certain characters. So this week is, who is your definitive Batman artist?
Ooh.
And this is something, like I told you before we started the show, we could use this one over and over again. So it makes less thinkins for us.
It is your definitive blank blank.
Right, so I'm going the first one because I believe Batman's a slightly popular character.
Slightly,
and, you know, I pretty much kind of have an idea for my answer, so I went with artist.
This is going to be tough for me, actually, because I think prior to September of 2011, I would have had a definite answer.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's muddied. Ooh. I could go one of, like, three ways.
Ooh, you have a crossroads ahead.
I certainly do. So let us know, listeners out there, who your definitive Batman artist is. Just throw the hashtag GrizzWLQ in there, and we will track it down, compile them up, and discuss them right here next week. And we'll also have a road report from Todd from his adventures in Baltimore. And I think I'm going to force you to talk about Infinity again. I think that comes out this week as well.
I believe it does.
Infinity number 2. So it's going to be a Todd-centric show next week. Lots of that. So I'm excited to hear about your trip to Baltimore, even before it happens.
Well, let me just go on the record saying I'm excited about my trip to Baltimore. So there's always that.
So isn't it, it's Baltimore this weekend and football comes back?
Oh, yeah. Thursday night is kickoff and then the Sunday, which is funny because I'm actually thinking about doing a half day at Baltimore on Sunday. And then around 1-2 o'clock, finding a local sports bar and watching some Raiders football, if I get a lot done. So it might be a crazy, weird weekend for me.
So, yes, you're going to be a busy man. Hopefully you get to experience everything that you want to, whether it be with your football, whether it be with Baltimore Comic Con, or just everything in general.
It's going to be a crazy weekend. Tweets, you know, look for me on Twitter and you'll probably get some interesting stuff over the weekend.
Yes, indeed. I'm excited. Get me my sticker.
I'll try. If I don't, are we still going to do the podcast together?
Yes, we will.
Okay, just making sure. That takes the pressure off, makes it a little easier.
All right, so for Todd, this is Leonard closing out episode 94 of the Weekly Long Box, and we will catch you all here next week.